for the opportunity to preach the gospel of Christ. I just little another prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you gave us a great church to be share the your word. Please give us the Holy Spirit to understand your word and receive that in our hearts, and to find out what the Lord tells us in these days. Thank you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open the Bible and read the scripture first. And Second Samuel, chapter 18. And behold, the Cushite came, and the Cushite said, "Good news for my lord the king, for the Lord has delivered you this day from the hand of all who rose up against you." The king said to the Cushite, "Is it well with the young man Absalom?" And the Cushite answered, "May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up against you for evil be like that young man." And the king was deeply moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And his man, he said, "O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I had died instead of you, O Absalom, my son, my son." Last week, the January 1st, I used my livery to the cinema, Labor Cinema in the West Springfield, to watch the movie called Aquaman. As we know, that it's a very famous movie, and you know that it came out as comic books already. And I went with my whole family and using the 3D glasses and put that on. They changed the whole nice chair. You can recline the chair like a very good, much better than the these chairs. we enjoyed that the night about two and a half hours. And the Aquaman was looks like a little bit like our pastor Stephen. He's very like a Samson, like a very powerful man, like a Terminator. As we know, so any action we hear the movie was a similar theme, all about rebellion. It's a power-hungry king attempt to conquer the land. Aquaman's story is nothing new. Aquaman is a good man to save his oceanic people. But we know we have Christ. Abraham Kuyper, who was the prime minister of the Netherlands from 1901 to 1905, already experienced this rebellion movement at 19th century in Netherlands. Socialist and the totalitarian mindset challenged the freedom of religion in Western Europe for centuries. So he organized the private school system could be equally funded and legalized for the freedom of religion. Even he resigned after the reform, but his legacy of sovereignty of God in every area of the country has become monumental. At the time, he instituted the political party called Anti-Revolution Party. As you will see, the name here, Anti-Revolution, is because he was a Calvinist, and mindset was he doesn't like a revolution. David W. Hall, the pastor of Midway Presbyterian Church, in Power Springs in Georgia. In his book called The Legacy of John Calvin, Calvin's writings had an impact on the political system of Republicanism, which supports the check and balance of the government, the limit of the government, that is the small government. The reason why I share with you this one, because the Second Samuel is not the Republicanism, it's about the monarchy, king rules. So John Calvin's idea in his book of Institute of the Religion, the government prefers, his government prefers republicanism rather than socialism, big government system, and even monarchy. As we see that already read that the verse, the David, King David, he was ordained by Prophet Samuel, and he governed for 40 years. But as you said, the history tells us that its monarchy is not really a good system of a government. So the Calvinism is historically is a significant impact on the doctrine of sovereignty of God. God is a sovereign, so he oversees and he is greater than human being. Humanity is the evil in this view of the Calvinism. Let's go back to the scripture while we have tonight. But before we go to the scripture, we have skimmed through what the Book of Samuel talking about. The Book of Samuel is a story about David. This king of David is all about the major the person in this Book of Samuel. Second king of Judah after Saul. And he was the king of, as we know, United Kingdom of Israel. Samuel was a judge, a prophet, and a priest. He ordained the king Saul and David. The first king Saul was not a great king like David, but David also had a critical and shameful sin he had. As we know that 2 Samuel chapter 11, we know we're going to talk about later. Even he shot Goliath with a perfect shot. He has his nice slingshot. He got he killed him, and he got good faith. He has not always but that faith has not made him always sinless. So when you see that the chapter 11 introduced his new turnabout about David's life, David, who called a man of after God's own heart, has a serious temptation when he was a king. Before this occasion arrived, he already had 6 wives, maybe more concubines. David has more freedom to have, but more he has, more he is to fall in temptation. David became powerful and he forgot who God is. God of omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence. Before his actual execution of sin, we know how he was happy when the Ark of Covenant arrived in Jerusalem. He danced, uncovered his body. Saul's daughter, Michal was condemned about her comment of half-nakedness of David. She became barren for her last of her life. As years passed, David's love of God slipped toward the falling in sin, which breaking the law, the Ten Commandments, of the two stones. When the prophet Nathan told the parable of rich man and the poor man, he did not even think he was a sinful man. He might think that God blessed him because he did so many things to please him. But when the prophet Nathan said, "You are the man," to him, his heart knocked out with his arrogance. His sinful heart was revealed. He became naked in the presence of God. This real nakedness of him brought him to the judgment of God. The curse was executed. When you read the Saul's daughter, Michal, was judged, we might think that David's spirituality is more valuable than the Michal's. So we may justify that when we worship, we can dance with joy more emotionally. But look at David, how he fallen to his own sin. From the view of God, we all fallen. We are all fallen. No one is righteous. So we all need Christ. When Bathsheba had a son, he was ill. So David prayed for 7 days. But the answer was the death of his son. He did not cry at the time because he has more sons. He might think that is fine, that is okay, I have more sons. But God knew his heart. His heart is not humble yet. And Solomon was born. In the chapter 13, the story of Amnon and Absalom began. Amnon raped Absalom's sister Tamar. Absalom began his story as a revengeful son. He killed his stepbrother Amnon as the revenge. And he ran away from David for 3 years. David lost second son now. The 2 Kings chapter 13:36 says, the king and his old servants wept very bitterly. His son's death is not the end. The final round is waiting for David. Chapter 14 starts, Joab, son of Zeruiah, knew that the king's heart longed for Absalom. David has reconciled Absalom through the help of Joab, but his favorite son, Absalom, rebelled against him and tricked all tribes Israel that he became the king of Hebron. His intentional propaganda works well. The conspiracy of Absalom gained strength. So we went to the paragraph today we just read that. Now, this paragraph we want to focus on now as David's encounter of news. So when you see that the verse, chapter 18, 31, chapter 18, 31, and behold, the Cushi came and the Cushi said, good news for my lord the king. When you see that the good news, what does good news stand for? The good news is something is good. But you think about the good news for the nation or the King David. The good news is David's army won, beat them the Absalom's army. It's good news for his nation. But the good news is not for good news for David, because David's sons died. So before the Cushite came, the Cushite means Cushite is, as we know, that the Noah's had three sons. Noah's the son's Ham has the first son named Cush. Is that we know that he was like dark skin. Is we call the Ethiopian. He was, so they think about that he was when he look at the David look at him, maybe he was already knew that it's not a good news. But when he say that, when you look at the verse 31, good news for my Lord the King, for the Lord has delivered you this day from the hand of all who rose up against you. This is very paradoxical news. But the sin of rebellion, let's talk about the first, about Absalom's sin of rebellion first. Because David's sorrow when you read that, David's sorrow is not about just the death of Absalom. David's sorrow is very multidimensional. The sin of rebellion brings a deadly sorrow which comes from the death. This, we talk about that this Absalom's rebellion is not just Absalom's the sin. The metaphor of the spirit of rebellion is the spirit of Satan. When you look at the Isaiah chapter 14, 12 to 15, the history of Satan is described. Have you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn? You have been cast down to the earth. You who once reigned ruled the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. For you are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pit. What caused Satan to be cast from heaven? He fell because of the pride that originated from his desire to be God instead of a servant of God. Satan was the highest of all the angels, but he wasn't happy. He desired to be God and the ruler of the universe. The God cast Satan out of the heaven as a fallen angel. So we conclude that the rebellion of Absalom is not just talk about the human sin, it's about the sin of the Satan. The second one we want to talk about the Joab's sin of disobedience. Joab was the commander of David's army. He disobeyed David's command to spare the life of Absalom. David told Joab, "Do not kill Absalom," but he disobeyed. His revengeful, merciless demeanor cannot be character of David's kingdom. Obedience is the important virtue for the faithful children. So when you see the Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first command of the promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So Joab's disobedience is, we talk about the Ten Commandments, he disobeyed the law of God. So Absalom's sin of rebellion, Joab's sin of disobedience makes David more sorrowful. When you look at David's life, he already sinned of the commit adultery. And how about this sin comes again to another form? Sin is related, all the different kind of sin. But God is not focusing on the sin. He focused on David's response, how he did that. As we went through before, he lost three sons. And he lost his favorite servant, Joab. When you go to the next chapter, David asked Solomon to execute his servant Joab. He lost everything. He lost three sons. He lost favorite servant. But he follows God. He knelt down and he fell down and finally knocked down by the wrath of God. He surrendered everything. Absalom is the mirror of David's sin of rebellion. David knew that he's rebellious to God. His sin is so great, So his rebellion is he cannot stand on it. He nailed down, he repent his sin. Joab is the mirror of David's sin of disobedience. So God reveals his sin and he became naked before God. All the suffering he has makes him humble. The God made him humble through suffering. David suffered the loss of three sons and then he became humble. When you look at Psalm 32, verse 3 to 7, I'm going to read. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly open prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. So David now knew that the wage of the sin is death. So God will, when you look at the book of Romans chapter 2, 6, 8, God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. From this passage, we found these things. We must keep the Ten Commandments. God gave us Torah, the law of God, before the king. When you look at the order of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, is all Torah, is the law of God. God gave us Torah. And then now we go to Judges. Now we go to Joshua and the kings. Samuel and the kings. This is order of the God's providence, God's the wisdom. David knew that the law, but he failed to keep the commandment. It's about the knowing, it's about the action, how we keep the commandment. So when I studied the Westminster Confession of Faith, Westminster Divines, they met in 1843 at the Westminster Abbey. They knew that at that time, the antinomianism, the people do not follow the Ten Commandments. They think the law is all gone. You don't have to keep that, the law. So they put that the importance of the bring back to the keeping the law, the moral law. So they put that the law is still the rule of life. So the Puritan, they very, very important thing to keep that the law in our lives. So saving faith and repentance and goes together, and also in the Westminster Confession. So it all go through the end of the Davis. So we know that we should repent our sins. So Davis finally knew that he repent his sins. So, but because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. So David still needs the forgiveness of sins, the justification in Christ. We are so much blessed because of Christ. Our sinfulness is resolved through the faith in Christ. So doctrine of justification is still resounding. The Roman, book of Romans 8:31. When then shall we say to these things, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will we not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies, who is condemned. Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us, who shall separate us from the love of Christ. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger of sword. So we can we redeem the spirit of Absalom, the spirit of rebellion? So the son of Adam, Cain, killed his brother, Abel. By the spirit of rebellion, he became the wanderer. How about the Israelites in the wilderness? They have the spirit of rebellion to complain what they have. So 1 Samuel 15:20-23, as Samuel said, as the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and the sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. So, when you already see that the king Saul has the didn't honor the word of God, and he has the cursed by this prophet Saul as a rebellion. So we already knew that about he disobeyed, and but he already told him about the rebellion. So the sin of rebellion is very critical sin in our lives. So when you see that the son of David, Absalom, dared to kill his father David, this spirit of rebellion is one of the characteristics in modern days. Absalom's spirit came back again. Revolution, as we talk about in the first, is another word of rebellion. 2 years ago, my family went to the graduation ceremony in the Eastern Meadow, my daughter, Hannah. And I was sitting down at the, listening to the speech of the student as a valedictorian. She made a speech. I was shocked that she shouted, "Student, we need a revolution." She shouted revolution a couple of times. I thought, is something going on? I couldn't forget what she was saying about her rebellious spirit, about inequality. We Christians, on the trial, the cultural Marxism penetrated young generation is like attraction. It's very attractive. It's a rebellious spirit. So like Adam and Eve, they ate the fruit of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. They want something better for them. Gender equality, racism, and the poverty are their tools. They are tools for their rebellion. How can we redeem them? I think only God can do it. The spirit of Absalom, spirit of rebellion, must die. That is divine decree only God can do it. There will be a suffering like David's deep sorrow, as we saw in our paragraph. But that is how God governed his world. Absalom could be a king, but king must be ordained by the prophet. Christ is not a revolutionary king, like a revolutionary figure. Liberation theology must die. They are the spirit of rebellion. The doctrine of sovereignty of God cannot go hand in hand with the liberation theology. The church must be protected from the rebellious theology. They want to sit on the Mount of Assembly for their pride. They want to become a king. So how we summarize all these ages of rebellion? I want to just summarize in the five different point of view, different action we can take. First, conceive a correct view of God. We need to see God correctly. Deuteronomy 32:4, the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. He is just and fair in his holy. Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 2. There is one only living and true God, who is infinite in being and perfection, a most pure spirit, invisible, without body, parts, or passions, immutable, immense, eternal, incomprehensible, almighty, most wise, most holy, most free, most absolute, working all things according to the counsel of his immutable and most righteous will, for his own glory, most loving, gracious, merciful, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, the rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and bitter, most just and terrible in his judgments, hating all sin, and who will by no means clear the guilty. Second, revise your false beliefs. Ten Commandments is the rule of life. Many evangelical churches are leaving the Ten Commandments. They believe that that is not more useful, but it's not. The Ten Commandments are given for our godly lives. Third, repent of our sins. The rebellion of sin is our problem. It includes disobedience, insubordination, lawlessness, and insolence, scoffing, or disrespect. 1 John 9:10. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we are not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. 4, defend against spiritual attacks. As we know, be alert and of a sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. So your flesh, sinful nature, has always enjoyed a sense of power and autonomy that comes from rebellion authority. We should obey the Holy Spirit, not the flesh. 5, flee and overcome temptation. Puritan John Owen wrote on his exposition based on the verse. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put death the deeds of the body, you will live. In conclusion, we are finite. We need to examine ourselves for the spiritual discipline. We are all in danger of the sin of rebellion. We need to humble ourselves, submit ourselves to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray.